beautiful. Thank you so much for that. When I had my knee surgery some time back, while I was out, we had Reverend Bill Phipps with us, and I've never heard Bill preach, but I heard so many good reports, I felt like I needed to get him back, if nothing else, just so I could hear him. Now, we felt like Bill would be a good fit for this day for us, and we're delighted to have him and Tana, his wife, with us. They have one son, Jonathan, who I think serves as a principal, or is he a superintendent of school system now? He's superintendent of school system. And so they have Jonathan, and Bill and I have served together in conference work, denominational work on the Evangelism Council. He served, I think, four churches, and one in Johnson City, Tennessee, just up the road here, Asbury. He served there and did a great job there. Asheboro, and he was at Trinity Fellowship in Charlotte for 33 years. I thought I'd been, 20 years. I thought that was pretty good, and then he comes in 33 years at Trinity Fellowship, and he retired from there. They live in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and we're just delighted to have Bill and Tana with us today. Bill, come. Make him welcome, if you will. Thank you, brother.
That's good to be back in Winston-Salem. Today, my wife and I have been excited about returning. We were here when Tim was having his surgery. What he told me when he called me was, "My people seem to like you, and they say I should like you." Tim and I have been friends for a long time. In fact, when I was pastoring in Asheboro, he was a student at Emmanuel, I believe, and he came and preached for us. That's when his hair was a different color than it is today. But we're delighted to be here and be a part of your month-long theme on love, loving God, loving family, loving church. And today we're talking about loving friends, loving friends. Maybe you're sitting by a friend. You might want to turn to him and say, "I love you, friend." Maybe you're not. Well, love is central to Christianity. The Bible says that God is love. And even in the Old Testament, as far back as the third book of the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, the Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, he said, "You've heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But he said, I say, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you." And also in John, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then he went on to say, "Greater love hath no man than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." So I'll say it again. Love is central to Christianity. John 3:16, that golden text of the Bible, says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And Jesus loved us so much until he went to the cross and gave his life for us. To be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to imitate Jesus, to be Christ-like. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a loving person, loving our friends and loving our enemies. But here's a question. In these opening remarks and in this scripture that I read, did I tell you anything you didn't already know? Didn't you already know that we're supposed to love one another? Those of you that attend here regular, Pastor Tim's been here 20 years. I wonder how many times he said, "Love one another." How many times he said, "God is love." How many times he's reminded you as a church and you as an individual that we need to love one another? You knew that love is central to Christianity before I ever said it. You knew that at the heart of Christianity, there is this attitude and there is this teaching that we should love one another. I didn't tell you anything new. You already knew that. So as I see it, my task today is not to teach you that you're supposed to love one another. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I knew that before I ever came in the door, that Christians are to love one another. Amen. That's what we are supposed to do. But what I really want to do is to get us this morning to look at our relationships with our friends, our relationship with strangers, our relationship with our companions, our relationship with our children, and ask ourselves in this business of loving one another, being a friend to other people, how am I doing? You know, sometimes as we follow Jesus, especially if we've been a believer for a long time, we can find ourselves not doing what we know to do. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. We know we're supposed to love one another. How are we doing in that aspect of loving one another? From time to time in our spiritual journey with the Lord, we need to reset what we're doing. We need to reset loving one another. My wife and I, Tana, when we moved in the house that we're living in now, one day I went in the bathroom to take a shower and I flipped the light switch and the light didn't come on. I checked the bulb was good. And so I decided it's a switch. So I went to Lowe's, cut off all the power in the whole house, and I became an electrician. I changed the switch, and I thought I'd fixed it. And I flipped the switch, and nothing happened. I had an electrician friend, and he came over, and I said, I can't figure this out. He said, well, somewhere there should be, on one of the plug-ins in your bathroom, there should be a reset button. You know about those little reset? He said, you just press that. So I looked all over that bathroom. I couldn't find a reset button. And then one day I was in my closet, which is in the wall adjacent to the bathroom. And in that closet, I thought, maybe on this wall. So behind my clothes, I felt back there. Sure enough, there's a plug-in. Who puts a plug-in in a closet? No, I'm going to be nice, so it was a nice electrician who did that, since I'm preaching on loving one another. And sure enough, that it needed resetting. And I pressed that little button, went in my bathroom, everything worked just fine. Sometimes in our lives, as we're serving the Lord, we can get off course, and we need to reset. We need to reset our relationship with the Lord, and we need to reset how we are treating one another. Same thing happened with a garbage disposal. It quit working, and sure enough, little red button under there. I wish all the problems of life could be solved with a little red reset button, don't you? But they can't. But we can reset. It is not too late, no matter how long we've been serving God and how much we've got off course. It's not too late with the help of God to reset our lives when it comes to our loving one another. I think James was thinking about that kind of reset in our lives when in his epistle he wrote these words, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James is telling us that there's more to serving God than just knowledge. We can know that we're supposed to love one another, but how are we doing in our relationships with one another? Knowledge alone is not being a believer. Knowledge of what the Word says doesn't mean I'm a believer. A genuine follower of Jesus Christ is doing what the Word of God says. A genuine follower of Jesus Christ is living out the Word in his daily life. He is being Christ and loving as Christ would love in this world. That's what we're called to do. Application is everything. We can read the Word of God. We can know the Word of God. But are we living it out in our lives? We can know that we're supposed to love someone, but are we really loving as Jesus loved? That's the way he said we should love, even as he loved us. Knowledge alone is not enough. My wife and I had a couple, we were friends with them, and they went to every marriage retreat that they could find. They knew everything about love. They knew everything about marriage. They had the knowledge. And they got divorced. Knowledge alone is not enough. We have to live out our lives as believers and do what the Lord says. There was a pastor, his last name was Ortez. He pastored a church down in Buenos Aires, Argentina, several years ago. He wrote a book about discipleship. And he said one day he realized that his church was educated beyond their experience. He looked around at his church and he said, you know, members of my church are getting 2, maybe 3 sermons a week, plus Bible study at home. And he said, you know, I think I'm bombarding them with knowledge of God's word. And before they can make application and live that out in their lives, I'm hitting them with a new sermon. So one Sunday, he was going to preach on loving one another. He got up from the chair where he was sitting. He walked to the pulpit when it was time for him to preach. And he looked at his congregation, and this is what he said, the words of Jesus, love one another. And then he turned around and sat down. People looked at each other and thought, when's the pastor going to preach? He got back up, walked to the pulpit, and he said it again, love one another. He turned around, went back to his seat and sat down. And the congregation got a little concerned. They started whispering among themselves. And so he got up again and he came to the pulpit. And this is what he said. The words of Jesus. Love one another. He turned around, went back to his seat. And he sat down again. And so finally, a gentleman in the congregation stood up and he said, I think the pastor wants us to love one another. And he turned to his neighbor and he shook his neighbor's hand and he said, the man who was sitting beside him, and he said, you know, I don't know you very well. And they started talking. And the man who said, I think the Lord wants us to love one another, he said to that man, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Turn to your neighbor on the right and say that to him or her. Is there anything I can do for you? Well, they might be telling you what they want you to do. Well, throughout the congregation, people began to laugh, cry, pray for one another. And on that day, their service turned into a time where they were just loving one another. The man asked, is there anything I can do for you? And in the course of the conversation, the gentleman said, I'm having some real financial problems. And he pulled out his wallet and he said, let me help you. Now you wish you'd have turned and asked that person, don't you? And for 6 months, every Sunday, that pastor preached on loving one another. Sometimes it was application of how to love one another. Sometimes they just spent their time loving one another and expressing their love for one another. In order for us to reset our lives and make application to the Word when it comes to loving one another, I want us to look at a familiar passage of Scripture. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, begin with verse 25. It is an encounter that Jesus had with a lawyer. But before I read that passage of scripture to you this morning, I want to preface it by saying this. As a follower of Jesus, we must follow the way he commands. We don't get to make up the rules when it comes to serving the Lord. It's his way. We don't get to sing that song, "I did it my way." Doing it my way is not serving the Lord and being a Christian. Being a believer is doing it his way. My mom used to say, as long as you're under my roof and I'm taking care of you, it's my way or the highway. And the Lord says, it's my way. You live out your life in total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look together at that story in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him, that's Jesus, to the test. When the Bible talks about a lawyer here, it's not a man who necessarily defends someone in a courtroom. But a lawyer in this context is a person who knew the law. He could tell you the Ten Commandments. He could tell you the regulations of Judaism. He could tell you about the feast days. He was a man who knew his Bible. And trying to test the Lord, he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, Jesus says to him, "Well, what is written in the law?" Because he was a man of the law. "How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." This man is really asking Jesus, how do you get to heaven? And Jesus says to him, how do you read the scripture? And he said, the first and greatest commandments, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. You do that and you'll live. You'll have eternal, everlasting life. People who are going to heaven are people who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their mind, and they love their neighbor as themselves. You say, Pastor, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. I know that. But after we come to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become a Christian. That means I'm a follower of Jesus. That means I do what Jesus said. Jesus said people who are going to heaven are people who are loving the Lord with all their heart and loving their neighbor as their selves. So we ought to be loving people. In fact, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. Goes on to say, but he, this lawyer, to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, I wouldn't try to justify myself before the Lord. But that's what he was doing, somewhat arrogant. He said, well, if that's the truth, I have to love my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him. And the story of the Good Samaritan is Jesus' answer. He said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, a man was going down to Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." And then Jesus, in response to this question, "Who's my neighbor?" he asked the lawyer a question. He said, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." I think contained in the story is three things. There's a question that Jesus asked. There's the confession that the lawyer made. And then there's the command that Jesus gave, "You go and do likewise." What Jesus says to this man, this lawyer, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Jesus is really telling this story so that this lawyer can see himself as he really is, can see his own life and how he's doing in his relationship with other people. Jesus is showing this man his hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not, the word is not used in the story, but Jesus sees hypocrisy. And if there's one thing that Jesus had no time for, it was people who were hypocrites. The religious people, the people that he spoke to the harshest and called them out for how they were living. We need to ask ourselves this morning, not do I have hypocrisy in my life, but we need to ask ourselves, where's the area of my greatest hypocrisy? Because all of us are guilty of some hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not just trying to fool you. You know, sometimes we don't feel like being nice and acting like a Christian, and we suck it up and act like a Christian anyway. That's not being a hypocrite. No, a hypocrite is when you fool you. And this lawyer was fooling himself. And Jesus was saying to him, that's a very dangerous thing to do. That's what he had done. That's what the priest did. He fooled himself. He knew the law. He knew that he was supposed to be loving people, but he walked by on the other side. That's what the Levite did. He fooled himself, thinking he knew the law, but he didn't do what the Word of God says. And the lawyer was fooling himself. And Jesus pulled back the curtain, and he says, in essence, to this lawyer, "You are fooling yourself." You see a man in need, and you go on the other side of the road. How blind are we to the way we are actually treating other people in our lives? The priest missed it. The Levite missed it. The expert in the law, wanting to know who his neighbor was, he missed it. And reset starts in our lives when we start asking ourselves, in my relationship with people, am I missing it? The power of this story is that he gets the lawyer to admit the correct answer to the question. Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer made this confession. He said, "The one who showed mercy." Earlier in the text, Jesus said, "The one who had compassion." He said the Samaritan had compassion on the man, and he went to him. If we are genuinely treating one another like we ought to be treating one another, we are treating one another with mercy. We are treating one another with compassion. So the first step in resetting my relationships is loving the way Jesus loved and bringing wholeness to my relationships. Truth is, we are probably blind to the way we sometimes treat people around us. We can fool ourselves about the way we treat people around us. But I guarantee you one thing, we're not fooling the people around us. They are not being fooled. They know, people that you have relationship with. They know when they've been hurt. They know when they've been ridiculed. They know when they've been snubbed. They are not fooled. We just are. Mercy and compassion is an emotion and an attitude that arouses when we see someone in need. It's an emotion that arouses when we see someone that is hurting. It causes us to respond regardless of what it's going to cost us. To have mercy, if I have mercy on someone, I see someone in need, it's kind of like you see a child about to fall and you just spontaneously reach out to catch him. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying if we genuinely love our neighbor as we love ourselves, if we're genuinely following Jesus with all our heart, we are moved with mercy when we see someone who is hurting. The Samaritan saw him, the Bible says. He saw him and he goes to him. And this Samaritan got personally involved with this man who had been robbed and left for dead. The Samaritan didn't owe him anything. They didn't know each other. But he had this compulsion within him. This man is hurting, and I have the ability to help him. And he could not stop himself from going over to where he was. If we want to reset every relationship in our life, if we want to change the dynamics of every relationship in our life, then we have to recognize the person next to us has an affliction and a wound, and they are desperately in need of mercy. Desperately in need of mercy. To keep it simple, if you want to improve your relationship with people in your life, start treating people around you with mercy. Start showing them compassion. Because whether you see the wound or whether you don't see a wound in people, the people in your life and the people in my life have been robbed, beaten up, and left for dead by someone in some area of their lives. The people that we rub shoulders with day in and day out have been robbed, they've been beaten up, and left for dead by someone in some area of their life. And when we learn to see them and go to them and take care of them, see their hurt and go and minister to them, then we are living out the characteristics of a person who is on his way, on her way to heaven. Mercy says, "I'm willing to get messy with you." Do you know people are messy in their lives? Well, I've got a word from the Lord this morning. You are messy. And you are messy. And I'm messy. When you get involved with people beyond just a casual acquaintance, when you really get involved with people and say, I'm going to be a friend to that person, then you'll understand that people who are following Jesus are not afraid to get their Sunday best messed up. They're not worried about what people are going to say. You know, this morning I got up, I put on my best suit, one of my favorite ties, shoes shined, because I was going to the First Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I wanted to look presentable. And I did the best I could. Because, you know, since I retired, I don't always wear a necktie to church. Just saying. But I put on one this morning. But, you know, when the Lord looks down at me, I don't think he's impressed with my suit or my necktie. I don't think he looks at us and says, well, you don't look good enough to be one of my followers. I think when the Lord looks down at his children, he's more likely to say, you don't look messy enough to be following me. Because my disciples get down to the nitty gritty and they get dirty trying to help other people. Jesus left the 99 and he went for that one lost sheep. And when he found that sheep, he put him on his around his neck, and Jesus began to smell like an old dirty sheep. And if we are to get involved and reset our lives when it comes to serving other people and being the friend that Jesus wants us to be, we'll have to get involved in people's lives. We'll have to get involved when it's not pretty, when it's ugly, when it's dirty. And I don't know where you are in your relationship and how you're doing with this command that Jesus gave, that we're to love one another. Resetting our lives in this area means coming to the place that we have fooled ourselves about how genuine we are really like Christ, and acknowledging that. And what perhaps we need to do is kneel before him and ask him to help us have compassion and mercy and help us to see the fact that around us are wounded and bleeding and suffering people that are in a mess, and they need Jesus, and they need a friend, and they need to see Jesus in you and Jesus in me. Resetting our lives is asking the question, am I missing it? Reset is seeing the wounded people next to you and showing mercy. Reset in our lives begins when we follow the commandment that Jesus gave to that lawyer. Go and do likewise. Jesus was saying to that lawyer, so you know the law. Great. Now go and do like that person, that good Samaritan that doesn't know the law, but he's living it out of his heart. And I believe Jesus wants to roll back the curtain in your life and in my life this morning and say, take a good look at how you treat one another. Take a good look at how you're treating family, friends, neighbors. And are you genuinely showing the love of Christ? Are you genuinely loving them as yourself? Well, this is where I need to land this morning. Starting at 10:30 means you got 30 more minutes, right? That's how I interpret it. When you read this story, you have to ask yourself, who do I identify with? Am I like this first group? Am I like the priest, the Levite? Am I like the lawyer? Are we fooling ourselves into thinking that we're something that we're not? Are we willing to get messy with messy people in our lives? And you know, you don't have to go out and take a search and try to find the messiest person in the world to start showing the love of Jesus. You can start with the person next door. You can start with the person who's sitting next to you. You can start with your husband, your wife, your children. Do you see yourself in this story as a priest, Levite, or the lawyer? Or do you see yourself as a robber? Wounding people and stealing their joy and inflicting pain on them and leaving them feeling not alive but half dead. All of us know some people when we're around, we just love being around them and we just want to bottle it up, and then we know those people that we're around and we just feel awful. Are we fooling ourselves? Are we the robber? Are we the Samaritan? Some of you are the Good Samaritan. In fact, I'm sure Pastor Tim could stand up and he could tell stories about the 20 years that he's been here when he's caught some of you being the Good Samaritan, finding a need and ministering to that need. Are you the religious? Are you the robber? Or are you the real deal? Well, I can tell you who all of us are. We're all the man on the side of the road. Every one of us in this room today has been beaten and bloodied by life. Paul said it this way. We're all dead in our trespasses and in our sins, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all a bloody mess. And Jesus comes to all of us in our brokenness and in our mess, and he wants to come into our lives and make us well. He wants to come and pour the oil and the wine on what is hurting. Maybe that's where you are this morning. And maybe that's where you need to start in this story. Telling him, Jesus, I'm wounded. I'm sinful. I'm in need of a Savior. And when we come to him that way, the Bible says he will in no wise cast us out. But he'll bring the oil and the wine and he'll minister to us. Some of us, in fact, most of us here today are believers. But perhaps we've been living our lives making bad choices and missteps and not being the friend that we are called by Scripture to be and ministering to people that are around us. You know, we live in a world that's hurting. We pass people every day and we work with people, and there are people in our homes and in our family, in our circle of acquaintance that are hurting in our world. And they are looking desperately for someone that has an answer. But Jesus says the answer has to be wrapped in love. Love is central to Christianity. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And he didn't save us to condemn the world. He saved us to show the love of Jesus to a world and to show people that there is an answer, and it's found in Jesus. We need in our lives to take away the hypocrisy and to take away the facade and to roll back the curtain. And we need to say, Lord, I want you to help me that my life from this point on is reset, and the people I see that are hurting, I want compassion to fill me. I want mercy to fill me. And I want my response to be automatic. I want to go to them, not worrying about what others will say, not worrying about what it'll cost me, but I want to go to them and show them the love of Jesus Christ. But you know, when you say that, when you pray that, when you say, Lord, I want to be your hands extended, I want to be your mouth, I want to be your legs, I want to go to where people are hurting, and I want to minister to them. No matter how much we try to be that person, we find ourselves coming up short. We need to say, Lord, give me mercy. Give me compassion toward others. And we need to also say, Lord, I can't do that in myself. I'm incapable of doing that in myself. That old man springs up within me, and that I want to do, I don't do, and that I don't want to do, I do. You see, when Jesus says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, he's telling us to do something that in the natural is impossible for us to do. But the good news is, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when someone is a great Samaritan and a good Samaritan, and when someone who is ministering to people like Jesus ministered to people, you can't look at that person and say, what a good person that is. No, you have to look at that person and say, what a surrendered person that is, who has surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Christianity is getting up every morning and saying, Lord, I want to serve you today. I want to be a good Samaritan today. But Lord, I can't do it without your help. Holy Spirit, move through me. Jesus, love hurting people through me, because in my flesh and in my ability, I can't do it. But Jesus can. And Jesus is just looking for a vessel. He's not concerned about your ability as much as he is your availability. And if we make ourselves available to him and say, Lord, I surrender to your lordship. I surrender to your commands. I want to be an obedient servant, and I want to show mercy and love to people. That's when Jesus comes in us, and he loves through us. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of person I want to be. In a couple of months, I'll be 72, and I'm still working on this need to have love in my heart toward everyone, and especially toward those that are hurting. Will you stand with me? Will you bow your head for just a moment? It may be that you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm beat up, I'm broken, I'm like the man on the side of the road. And my first step in resetting my life is to give my life to the Lord Jesus. I'm not a believer, but I want to be a believer. I want to follow Jesus. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but if that's where you are and you say, Pastor, I want you to remember me in this closing prayer, would you just lift your hand anywhere in the sanctuary? Remember me in this closing prayer. I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. Perhaps we're a congregation of believers, and all of us know the Lord. It's a sobering thought to inventory our lives and to look at how we are treating one another. That's a sobering thought in the light of what Jesus said. When the lawyer said, how do I get to heaven? And he said, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. People who are going to heaven, Jesus said, are people who are loving God with all their heart and loving their neighbor as theirself. Perhaps you can say with me this morning, Lord, I needed to reset my life to show the love of Jesus to the relationships that I have. And this morning, as an act of faith and obedience to that command, I want to step out from where I am and come to this altar. And I want to ask.